So welcome to the wonderful season of Advent. Here we are on the first Sunday of the Christian New Year, getting ready for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's exciting. We're thinking of Christmas carols. We're already started after Thanksgiving, of course. Putting up lights and trees. Getting ready for another round of family gatherings and jumping right into the birth of Jesus. Let's go ahead and say I love these things. And I get so excited. I love Christmas. I excited right after Thanksgiving, those Christmas carols start playing on the radio. But upon studying for this sermon series, upon reading a little bit of the lectionary and a little bit of what other pastors are saying, I learned I need to slow down a little bit. I need to try to better understand how these gospel messages about the birth of Jesus pertain to our personal lives and our collective lives. A little bit more than just the man who meant to die on the cross for saving our sins, which we know is the greatest thing, but I think there's more to it. There's more lessons we can learn. Concerning Advent, the United Methodist Book of Worship. It's this great book us pastors have. Anybody can have one, but us pastors have it. You get more information about everything. More prayers. For the example, the opening prayer today was from the Book of Worship. It's a great resource. But it says the following, that the season proclaims the coming of the Christ, whose birth we prepare to celebrate once again, who comes continually in word and spirit, and whose return and final victory we anticipate. So how does this birth teach us more than just great Christmas carols? First, I want to look at the scripture reading from Luke. We see Jesus uttering a prophetic message concerning the future. It talks of signs that mark the coming of the Son of Man again. Which is sort of weird to talk about the first day of Advent, but we're going to get around to that. These signs, they can be interpreted as signs of almost distress, anxiety, hopelessness, sometimes ultimate annihilation. You see anguish, perplexity, the roaring and tossing of the sea. It's almost sort of scary. It can make a sermon terrifying. Talking about, this is all going to happen, and we're a wicked generation, we need to fix ourselves. That's not where I'm going for today. I think this passage is one of hope and joy. One for the coming of the birth of Jesus and for the coming of Him again. I believe it's more of a call to focus on your heart. To change your heart even for the coming of the King so that you can stand before Him when He comes again. Righteous and ready. Without a doubt for people of faith, us today, Jesus' message at the end times is more of a joyful expectation of the coming kingdom that promises deliverance and release. But what does it mean to stand when he comes? I think that's where Jeremiah sort of points out. This part in Jeremiah is often used during Advent. It calls for the birth of Jesus, and rightly so. It's a perfect verse for today. This Jesus will come as a righteous branch sprouting. New growth, even. Do just and right in the land. This is a message of the future. When Israel and Judah will come out of captivity, when justice and righteousness will be the way of the land, I believe Jeremiah is really focusing in on this almost a social restoration that brings forth a new season of celebration and possibilities. The social restoration, for the Jews whose captivity stems from their faithlessness in God, to their inability to be just and fair with the land, with one another, and with others outside of their tribes. As an Advent community today, the church claims the message of this first Sunday of the season as an opportunity to announce a future that enters into the restoration of the world to its proper character as God's creation. Like the birth of Jesus, not just about Him coming and saving our sins, but also starting us anew. This is also a rebirth for the church almost every year. Sort of like a symbol of that. Sort of get us back into the focus of how we can get the world ready for the birth of Christ and for Him to come again. So far, we've looked at Luke calling for a change of heart, stand before the King, Jeremiah calling for a change in social order and restoration of the world. So what does that have to do with us today? You know, Jesus already come. World's changed. We're doing great. What does that have to do with us today? How does it, what does it have to do with the birth of Christ? Why am I talking about this today, of all days? I believe it's how we can prepare for his birth. I think that's how you prepare. Not just by setting up the Christmas tree, the nativity scene, singing Christmas carols. We can prepare by changing our hearts to follow his teachings, to be just and fair to those around us. You know, there are thousands of believers in all the world's religions. Specifically Christianity, I believe they have the highest percentage of this, who are constantly working towards what Jeremiah says is just and right in the land. They're following the path of Jesus, changing their hearts, being ready and righteous and ready to stand before him. As they're working to end oppression, to feed the hungry, heal the sick, and any practice that cheapens our God-given life, deprives the most vulnerable and disenfranchised human beings, the children, the elderly, the widows, the sick, whoever it may be, from enjoying a life of respect and fairness and freedom. A little story about being prepared. A man was visiting a school. He told the class that he would give a prize to the student whose desk was the best order. It was clean. It was nice when he returned. They asked, "But when will you return so he can be ready?" He says, "I can't tell you that. That's cheating." Well, there's a little girl who sat in the back, and she'd been noted for messy desk, causing disruptions in class, the whole nine yards. She announced that she's going to win that prize, no matter what. Her classmate said, "You, of all people, why your desk is always messed up. You can't win that. It's always dirty." She said, "Oh, I mean to clean it the first day of every week." He said, "Well, what happens if he comes at the end of the week?" "Then I'll clean it every morning." They said, "Well, what about at the end of the day? Will it be dirty then? What if he comes then?" She sat there for a minute, thinking about it. And she said, "I don't know what I'll do. I'll just keep it clean at all times." Jesus, he offers words that call us to be ready when the kingdom of God bursts into our daily existence. The kairos of God disrupts our human chronos. It's God's time and our time. And things, they can't remain the same. For those who live to step on others, the message of Jesus in Luke is a message of judgment, a call to repentance, saying you better get on the right track. For those who cling to the promises of God, for those of us who push for social restoration, helping the needy, healing the sick, visiting those who need to be visited, helping draw in everyone into our faith, into the kingdom of God. This message isn't of repentance, of judgment coming upon your heads. Instead, it's a message of hope, a message of celebration. When Jesus says, "Stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Redemption is a happy time. Oftentimes, it's negative. I think redemption's happy. That's when we're going home. That's when we did it right. That's the day to look forward to. And that's what I call each of us here today and to do every day. To prepare for the birth of Christ, who has come and is yet to come. So it's a never-ending thing. To prepare our hearts and our lands to receive him. To be able to stand before the King. To raise our heads in humble victory over the ways of the world. Over the oppression and the social injuries caused by others. Standing beside the oppressed, standing beside the hungry, the sick, and the least of these. Let us strengthen our spiritual disciplines by reading the scriptures, praying daily, helping everyone, and make just and right the land and however we can for the coming of our Lord. Together we can do it. Together we can prepare our hearts for the Lord. That's what I call us all to do this season. You'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us and allowing us to gather here to worship you. And Lord, let us realize a season is more than just gifts of receiving and giving. It's a season to start over, a season of birth, to help those around us. Lord, give us the strength and the knowledge to prepare your land, for the coming of you and your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.